it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, the Orioles have won four straight. They won 8 out of 10, and today they'll try and sweep the Boston Red Sox. It's a gorgeous day, so if you're in the neighborhood, come on down. Tiny Tim saved a seat for you. He's a nice young man. Skipper Buck Showalter right after this. Aquino, a check of first, and delivers 2-2. Pablo swings and misses. And he got him with a pitch that was about 88. And again, to a right-hand hitter, looked like a bit of a screwball effect. It broke away from Sandoval, and he just couldn't reach it. That's just a real good sinking fastball to get that strikeout. Yeah, Jay Aquino, pretty good in the ballgame last night. Buck Showalter says, part of the reason was his catcher.
Caleb did a good job with him maneuvering through that. I think he saw some of the things that you like about him. He doesn't lack for, I don't want to say confidence, just, you know, he's one of those guys, here's mine, see what you can do with it, and I'm not going to pick around, and, you know, I wish I'd come up with a better phrase, and there's just some personality to his pitch, and he's got a good hand, and you know, it's a cold night, too. Guys were having trouble gripping the baseball.
Yep, but he overcame it. Aquino last night, 6 innings, allowed just 2 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, couple of strikeouts. Buck says he did look a little bit like he did in spring training.
In spring, yeah. Keep in mind, that's a really good club. You know, they're obviously minus Pedroia, but, you know, you're getting everybody's best shot up here. And he actually struggled more with the left-hand hitters, it seemed like. He had a changeup. He got hurt on a slider to Bradley. But, I'm glad that you keep an open mind because, you know, what I saw on a quick look last year didn't match up to what I saw in the spring, what we saw in the spring. And, you know, you kind of lean on what your guys that see them consistently down below say. So I was glad to see what everybody was talking about.
All right, now, about the game last night, you wonder, did Trey Mancini play last night? Well, yes, he did. And as usual.
And the pitch to him, swinging a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Did he do it? Boom, boom has done it. It's gone. Into the bullpen. And with that swing, we are tied at 2. Mancini's 5th of the year.
Yeah, Mancini, 8 home runs in his career. 5 of them against the Boston Red Sox. Buck Showalter happy with the way Mancini has been you say accepted in the clubhouse.
Trey's a very, you know, I can tell the veteran players respect the way that he carries himself, and I think he's very humble. He's obviously been brought up well, that he knows how hard this is to do and how the game can humble you. But I think that's why his teammates have kind of really gotten on page with him, because, you know, they like the way he carries himself and handles the success he's had in a short period.
All right, by the way, if you're wondering, yeah, Mancini is the designated hitter here this afternoon. So maybe stand by for some more boom-booms. We'll have to wait and see. Joe Angel back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Now, let's see. Last night, Orioles won the game. They scored 4 runs. The 3 games prior to that, they won all 3, and each of them, they scored just 2 runs. So, obviously, the Orioles right now, it's all about the pitching staff. I mean, collectively, the pitching staff has allowed just 3 runs in the last 42 innings. They've thrown 8 quality starts in the last 9 games. The only non-quality start in that stretch was Kevin Gausman's game at Fenway Park. Gausman pitching today, so he'll try and atone for that. But it is about the pitching. Buck Showalter, what about the pitching so far? Huh?
You know, you kind of shuffle the deck, and, you know, if certain things aren't working, then you go in some other directions. You know, Dan's good at that. And, you know, I like right now where we sit depth-wise, but, you know, Chris had a good, healthy outing, said it's the best he's felt, so that was good to see. And, you know, those are things we, you know, got to hold the fort down through that. The opportunities create some depth that, you know, we can go do things. You know, we really don't need a 5th starter now to the 2nd of May, so, you know, we've got to decide what we're going to do with some guys like Aquino and Asher, but it's a really good problem to have, one we haven't had here.
Yeah, really, the Orioles are right now with the best record in the game. They've gone 12-4. Mentioned they've won 4 straight. They won 8 out of 10. And they've done it without their top pitcher, arguably, Chris Tillman. Seth Smith hadn't played, got the hamstring issue. Joey Rickard is trying to work his way back. So the ball club does get healthy. Buck, your thoughts?
I don't look at it that way at all. I don't. It's part of the gig up here. You know, nobody wants to hear you talk about it. It's, you know, it's why your depth is so important. Somebody, say Rickard comes back, it seems like something else happens. You know, Zach comes back, something else happens. So it's really, over the course of the season, it's how you handle those things and how you survive through those times.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention Zach Britton. How could I do that? Because Brad Brock has been so good filling in. And so the question to Buck Showalter was, before the game today, about his ball club right now, is it his deepest ball club?
On paper, probably. You know, but it's kind of, you know, what is, you know, you can have pitching depth, but do you have pitching quality depth? Just because the guys have pitched in the big leagues and have, you know, we've got a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak. You see Edwin Jackson there. He's a guy that could help us in a lot of different roles. Some guys that we've picked up, and we've just gotten, an inch or two better. You know, and sometimes you graduate from certain situations that, you know, I've been given plenty of opportunities. It just didn't work out.
Right, so we'll see if it works out here this afternoon. Orioles and the Red Sox about to close out a three-game set. Orioles looking for a three-game sweep. Kevin Gausman trying to get back in the win column here this afternoon. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Daytime baseball at Camden Yards, O's and Red Sox, the finale of this three-game weekend series. It is Autism Awareness Day at Camden Yards, and up next we'll speak with Faye Painter of Autism Speaks on the Orioles Radio Network. It is a beautiful Sunday afternoon at Camden Yards. Birds and Bo Sox. Orioles going for a three-game sweep and a special day at the ballpark as today is Autism Awareness Day. And we're visiting with Faye Painter, who is the executive director of the national chapter area of Autism Speaks. And Faye, I guess the first place to start is exactly what is autism?
Okay, well, there's a lot that's not known about autism, but it's described by its symptoms. And there's three clusters of challenges, and each person who has autism has their own unique strengths as well as challenges. But the clusters are in the areas of social skills, communication, and repetitive behaviors. So there's a very broad range. In fact, we call it autism spectrum disorders. That reflects that some people with autism are what we would say very high functioning, and others are lower functioning.
Now, groups like yours, Autism Speaks, it certainly brings awareness to autism and how it affects families. How far have you come in getting somewhat closer to finding a cure? And if you're not that far, how close have you come to making everyday life a little bit more bearable for the families of children with autism?
There have been tremendous strides in the last 10 years. Now, Autism Speaks is a relatively new organization, started in 2005. And since that time, there has been a huge increase in understanding of autism and also acceptance of people with autism. And there's so much more, of course, that needs to be done moving forward. And there are many, many more direct service providers. One real key is early diagnosis and intervention with the therapies that are available. And so the awareness, particularly in the last 10 years, has helped us to drive there being more diagnosis and more earlier interventions with autism.
As far as making the public aware, days like this, I got to believe, are very important. Autism Awareness Day at Camden Yards. The Orioles are behind your effort. Major League Baseball is now behind the effort of autism. From your perspective, days like this, how does it help you and how important is it? If nothing else, you get the word out.
That's right. I mean, it's very important to get the word out because, I mean, just think about diagnosis. You know, people, if they know about these clusters of symptoms and the behaviors associated with them, then they're more likely to talk with their pediatrician if they're concerned about delay in speech or repetitive behaviors or some of the other issues that are associated with autism. There's also sleep disturbances, gastrointestinal problems. Many have epilepsy, seizures. So there's coexisting conditions as well that are of concern.
Now, when you talk to parents of autistic children and the Orioles, B.J. Surhoff, former Oriole, his son, one of his sons is autistic, Jim Palmer, his stepson is autistic. When you have high-profile names like that are going through what other people are, does that also help you in your cause to get people involved, even if they just want to volunteer to help whatever you're doing?
Most definitely it does, because people will look at those figures, and if they are willing to share their experience and the diagnosis, then anything that brings more awareness and just hearing about autism helps it to be identified sooner. And it also helps for the acceptance of people who are on the autism spectrum.
Are we more accepting now than maybe 10 years ago?
Well, I certainly think so, but that's hard. That's not something we really have, statistics on, but I would say that there's much more to be done. In fact, teenagers, particularly in middle school, really talk about being bullied and others, the difficulty in making friends and so forth. And so there's so much more that needs to be done, I believe, in that area for people to understand and then to accept and be loving and caring.
And I guess the initial aspect of this is the earlier the diagnosis, then the earlier the treatment.
That's exactly right. The earlier the intervention. And there are many different therapies and treatments. And each person who has autism is, if you've met one, you've met one person, because everyone has their own strengths and their unique challenges. And so for some, the behavioral therapy works very well. And then there's others need occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. And every person is unique. It's not a one-fits-all. In fact, we're talking more about autisms, plural, because we think that there's not just one underlying condition, but there can be many different, the genesis of it may be many different ways.
Well, Faye Painter and the Autism Speaks organization, they do a fabulous job of helping families with children with autism. If you'd like to get involved, here's how you do it. Go to autismspeaks.org. You could donate there, or you could join a fundraising walk, or you could even inquire about volunteering with the Autism Speaks organization. And if you feel like you need help or want to talk to somebody who is an expert in this area of autism, there's an autism response team. Just call 1-888-AUTISM-2. That's 1-888-772-9000. Or online, familyservices@autismspeaks.org. That is on Twitter. And we thank Faye Painter, as the Orioles today are hosting Autism Awareness Day at Camden Yards. It is a lovely day for baseball. O's and Red Sox. And from Camden Yards, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
The Orioles' four-game win streak has come to an end. They won 8 out of 10. But now, losing today, their record for the year, they're not 12-5. But still the Eastern Division leaders. Now, Jim, Orioles came back today. In fact, in that ninth inning, they actually got the tying run in the on-deck circle.
Yeah, I think the way this ended, at least the Orioles gave it a fight, and it almost turned into a fight after what Matt Barnes did to Manny Machado in the eighth. It's very hard to sweep series. It really, really is. Very hard to sweep series. The Orioles achieved the goal. Buck won't say this after the game because they obviously want to win every game, but they won the series. They got their 2 out of 3. They still have not lost the series, and that's how you eventually have a good year. But I agree with you, Joe. I like the way the Orioles finished. Eduardo Rodriguez for 6 innings, shutout baseball on one hit, and he survived 5 walks. Usually when you walk that many, somebody's going to get a big hit to make you pay, but he kept getting big outs. But after Barnes threw at Machado up in the head area, it went behind him and hit his bat for a foul ball. Barnes was ejected. Manny doubled the drive in a run, and then, give the Orioles credit. In the bottom of the ninth, they're down 6-1. Castillo leads off with a double, then 2 outs and nobody on. Kim gets a hit. Jones gets a hit. So you make it difficult. And at a minimum, the Orioles forced John Farrell to bring in his closer in a game that at one time was 6-0.
Well, the bottom line, though, the Orioles have to find a way to get Kevin Gausman to contribute in a much more effective way than he's been.
Yeah,
because Kevin Gausman today again struggled. 5 runs, 8 hits, 3 home runs in 5 1/3 innings. And Jim, Gausman this season has now gone 24 innings. And in those innings, he's got a 750 earned run average.
Yeah, 7.50. And at the moment, he's the number one starter. He was the number one starter on opening day. And they really need him to be consistent. And it's interesting, Joe, I recall you and I in spring training in our broadcast wondering how the rotation was going to eventually look. and who would be the question marks. And Kevin Gausman was probably the pitcher you and I talked the least about in terms of having concerns. And here he's the pitcher right now that has the most concerns, because in the past now 10 starts, there have been 8 quality starts, but 2 of his starts have been far from that.
Well, we said spring training that the regular season for the Orioles, the direction it would take would greatly depend on the performances of Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy. Those two pitchers had to, you know, step up to take that leap forward. Well, so far, Bundy has done that. Gausman has not.
Yeah, and they really need Kevin to step up. I mean, obviously he has the ability, but he seems to miss in the happy zone, and that's a dangerous place to live for a pitcher. In the first inning, Mookie Betts went up there looking for a fastball, and he jumped on the first pitch and hit a line drive out into left field for a 3-run home run. And then Hanley Ramirez got what appeared to be a hanging breaking ball. Not sure what kind of a breaking ball exactly it was, but it was a hanger. And Hanley went down and got it. And he's strong enough, he could hit it out of any ballpark, and he hit it out to left field. But Gausman's got to figure out a way where he can turn it around. I mean, he did pitch really well in his start in Toronto when he went 6 innings, allowed 1 run on 5 hits, and was a winning pitcher in that game. So he obviously has what it takes to get it done. He's just going to have to figure out how to do it.
Well, Kevin Gausman today, actually, after the first inning, he pitched much better. He started throwing breaking balls and change-ups, you know, changing it up. He kind of went away from the fastball at that point and was much more effective.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, he's trailing 4-0 after 4 batters of the game. And he only allowed 1 more run, and that was in the 5th inning on a 1-out solo home run by Mitch Moreland, who got a pitch up in the zone, and he clubbed it out to center field. So at least Kevin has that. So maybe he could go to the video with Roger McDowell and Alan Mills and see what was working after the Ramirez home run in the first until the 5th inning and figure out maybe what best works for him within the zone.
Well, baseball can be an exasperating game, and you know, we talked about it, the fact that and you wonder how things develop. I mean, the Oriole pitching staff collectively had given up 3 runs in 42 innings going into the game today. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Gausman gives up 4 runs on 8 pitches.
Yeah, 4 batters into the game.
How does that happen?
Well, like you were saying during the game, it's baseball.
It's baseball.
And that's what it's all about. And again, it is very hard to sweep series, especially against a team like Boston, that was picked to win the division this year. They're a very good team. The Orioles handled them in back-to-back wins, winning 2-0 in a shutout and then 4-2. And it would have been nice to get the sweep. But again, if the Orioles continue to win series more times than not, they're going to be a relevant team in September.
Well, if they continue to win series, they might get to the World Series.
There you go.
That's the idea. In that first inning, Bogaerts a single to get the game started. Then Benintendi a single. And then Mookie came up to hit. Mookie Betts, who going into the game today, just 2-for-18 against Oriole pitching so far this season. Ah, but you can only contain the Mookie monster so long. And now here's Mookie Betts. So Gausman off to some immediate difficulty this afternoon. And the pitch, Mookie, fly ball into left field. Way back there, the Mookie monster has struck. With 2 aboard, a 3-run home run. And just like that, it's a 3-0 Boston lead after 7 pitches. Indeed, Mookie Betts last year, 8 home runs at Camden Yards. That one his first this season against the Orioles. So 3-0, and now Ramirez came up to hit, and it didn't take long. And now Ramirez is going to hit with the bases empty. Well, that's one way, and there's a drive, and there's another one way back in left. A monster shot off the bat of Hanley Ramirez, and on 8 pitches, Kevin Gausman has given up 4 runs on back-to-back home runs. 4-0 Red Sox. And then later in the second inning, Kevin Gausman again got into some hot water. The Red Sox would eventually get the bases loaded with 2 outs, and Ramirez came up to hit again. Gausman, a look, says yes. He is ready. And he delivers. Fastball drilled into center. Deep. Jones backing up on the edge of the warning track to make the catch. My goodness. He saw 3 consecutive fastballs. And the third one he almost took out. But it becomes the third out. And they will leave him loaded. Yep, left him loaded until the fifth inning. At that 4-0 lead, one out, bases empty. That's when the lefty, Mitch Moreland, came up to hit. And now the right-hander into his windup, and he delivers 2-1. Fly ball to center, well hit. Jones looking behind him, going to jump up, and cannot catch it. It is gone. That is a home run. Adam Jones came maybe within a foot of making that catch. He timed it beautifully at the wall toward right center, but he came up maybe a foot short. Moreland, his second home run, and for the Red Sox, their third home run on the Sunday afternoon. They got a 5-0 lead now. Yeah, meanwhile, the left-hander, Eduardo Rodriguez, a 1-2-3 first, a 1-2-3 second, and a 1-2-3 third. Now, in the fourth inning, he walked the leadoff hitter Gentry, the Orioles' first base runner. He got him 1-2-3 after that. In the fifth inning, the big fella, Chris Davis, was the leadoff hitter. 3-2 pitch. Davis lines it over the shift. Base hit to right center. Mookie Betts gets it back into second base. Chris Davis gets aboard to get things started in the fifth.
Yeah.
Well, there's one base runner. One base runner, one hit. It broke up the would-be no-hit bid. But Orioles came up empty. Then in the sixth inning, Rodriguez started walking people. He walked the Gentry, and later he walked Manny Machado, and then he walked Chris Davis. So the Orioles had the bases loaded without a hit. That's when Mancini came up to hit.
Bases loaded with two down. The O's trying to finally break through. And the 2-2 pitch lined right to Sandoval. He drops it, flips to second base for the force on Davis, and that ends the inning. Mancini hit it very hard, but he hit it right at Sandoval, and Rodriguez works out of it. The Orioles leave the bases loaded.
Yeah, and if you're a hitter, all you can do is hit the ball hard. That's what Mancini did, but Sandoval was right there and turned it into the third out. Well, let's get to the drama. It happened in the bottom of the eighth inning. One out with the bases empty. Adam Jones got a base hit. Matt Barnes, a right-hander out of the bullpen, was out there pitching. And that's when Manny Machado came up to hit. Oh, look out, he hit him. And there's your payback right there. There's your payback right there. The ball up and in, it hit Machado. He tried to duck, and he could not avoid getting hit. So there's your payback, and Machado is heading to first base. Now, Manny quietly heading out toward first base, although he does take a glance out toward the pitcher's mound, and now Barnes has been tossed out. And now John Farrell is coming out to find out why. He knows why. But there's your payback right there. Machado got drilled. So as it turns out, the Red Sox would not let Machado slide. Yeah, that was the payback, the revenge, if you will. Now, they looked it over, and they did determine that the pitch had not actually hit Manny Machado. It had made contact with his bat. And so they did change it to a foul ball, and Machado came up to swing the bat one more time. And now Joe Kelly, he delivers. Machado breaking ball, drills it to deep center. Bradley racing back. He turned the wrong way. The ball goes right past him. Jones to third being waved in. He's going to score. And Machado winds up at second base, and he gets the last word. An RBI double to make it 6-1. And so Machado picked up his 10th RBI. Eventually, Orioles made a bid to get back in the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Castillo a double, and then with two outs, Gentry an infield single to pick up an RBI. Adam Jones singled into right field. Manny Machado came up to hit one more time. The Red Sox had gone to the bullpen again. They brought in the closer, Craig Kimbrell. And as it turns out, Machado, who was on center stage the entire series, he ended the finale. Kimbrell, with that vulture look, says yes. Comes to a set. He delivers. Popped him up. Should do it. Right side. Coming on Hernandez. Moreland is there. Hernandez is there to make the catch along the edge of the infield grass. And the ball game is over. And the four-game win streak is over. Today, the Orioles in the loss column. Boston salvages the finale. And they win it by a score of 6-2. And so tomorrow night, Tampa Bay comes to town. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter. He's got maybe Manny Machado. Who knows? Jim Hunter, he's full of surprises. Got a couple of scores, too. as we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. Red Sox salvaged the finale. They win it 6-2, but this game turned in the eighth inning when Matt Barnes threw a pitch that went behind Manny Machado's head. It did hit his bat. It appeared to be obvious retaliation of Machado sliding into Dustin Pedroia in the eighth inning on Friday night. Pedroia came out of the game, did not play yesterday, did not play today. Manny and Pedroia were seen on the Masson telecast with Pedroia clearly telling Manny, that's not on me, that's on them, pointing to his teammates. So Pedroia wanted nothing to do with it. Let's hear what Buck Showalter thinks. We'll head downstairs now. Post-game comments from the skipper.
What you saw today with Gausman, was that similar to what you saw in Cincinnati, or were there some?
It was better. A little better. You know, he wasn't very crisp early, and they made him pay for it. You know, you get a flare to right, broken bat, and a ground ball single, first and third, and then makes a couple of mistakes to some good hitters, and you know, we're down 4-0 before you know it. But I like the fact that he didn't implode and got us to the sixth inning, and competed like we know Kevin can. There'll be better days for him. But, you know, their pitcher was real good today. That was pretty obvious.
Did you feel that they were throwing intentionally at Manny?
I'll let everybody out. We're not getting involved in that stuff. You know, we've done it since I've been here. We'll continue to do it. You know, we all have our personal feelings about it, but I really respect the courage that our players had today. You know, I challenge you to get back in the batter's box and hit a ball, a breaking ball off the center field wall after that. You know, the courage it takes not to retaliate is a lot of times in life, it's a lot more challenging than, you know, doing what ended up happening today.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it appeared that he threw it in his head.
Pardon?
It appeared that he threw it in his head.
The
and
pitch
obviously
was there, whether he threw it or not, you know, let him and the good Lord answer. I'm not going to get into that.
But, I mean, in the past, maybe Manny would have gone to the mound.
Yeah, let all y'all weigh in on all that stuff. You know, a lot of people were, there was a lot of factors that drove what happened out there today, and I'm sure you guys will expound on it because that's what they want y'all to do.
Look, I'm not going to belabor the point, but do you just want to see this thing done? I mean, you guys play the Red Sox again in a week or two. Would you like to see all of this just put into the past? And
all of what? All of what? You know, two good teams competing for something that two teams really want. And they have a lot of passion about the competition. You know, when things like that get going into it, that's unfortunate. You know, but I was really impressed with the courage that our guys showed today. All of them, because they all, believe me, trust me, wanted to do something about it. Takes a lot more sometimes to do that.
Get back to Gausman. I know it's just between him.
Why? It's not even newsworthy, right? Oh, I'm just kidding.
I know it's between him and Roger and Wellington, what was said in that early mound visit, but was there any message that was relayed back to you? Just kind of.
No, that's Rogers. Rogers is as good as I've had, and he doesn't have to ask me to make a visit. And the only time is when we're trying to get somebody, I might ask and get somebody loose, but, you know, that's between Roger, and I don't want him coming back and telling me every little thing. It's not good for the relationship he needs to have with his pitching staff.
Could you see an improvement after that?
Yeah, he was good. He would, you know, Roger will tell you, you know, he was going to get to his level sooner or later. But, you know, when you have a guy pitching as well as Rodriguez was, you know, those early get behind the eight ball, so to speak, or the four ball, really gets magnified. It's good a pitcher as he is, and you know, their whole pitching staff, there was a lot of good pitching in this series, and we're going to have to continue to pitch well to compete with them.
Well, did you think at first that pitch hit Manny?
I wasn't sure. I knew it hit something. That's why I had curb. I wasn't going to go in. I felt like I needed to be there with Manny, and I had curb go in with JR to check the replay, and it said it hit the bat then him. So, you know, they got it right. Good. Okay. Thank you.
So, Buck Showalter, post-game comments. Red Sox salvage the finale. Orioles do get the series, taking 2 out of 3. Boston wins today, 6-2 over the Birds.